Joshua chapter 24. And our text for this evening is that verse 14, where we commenced our reading tonight. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Joshua, Israel's leader for so many years, is now to go the way of all the earth. And he was waxed old and stricken in years, Joshua 23 and verse 1. But before he went home to his eternal reward, he had some final words for those whom he had led since the days of Moses. And so he calls together all the children of Israel to a place called Shechem. All the children of Israel and their leaders, both political and religious, to give them one final word from the Lord. Look at the opening verses to the chapter 24, verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Note the words. They presented themselves before God. They didn't just present themselves before Joshua. They presented themselves before God. When we come to the Lord's house to receive the word of the Lord, we present ourselves before God. Verse 2, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Final words can often be very powerful words. Words which will live on in the ears and in the hearts of those who have heard them. And in this final address to Israel, Joshua's burden had a burden indeed for his hearers. And he expressed that burden in verse 14, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Remember, Joshua would not be with Israel for much longer. And this is what his burden was for them when he would go, when he would leave them behind. He said, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Indeed, service was the main focus of Joshua's final address to the leaders of Israel. Because if you were to take time and be an interesting study for everyone, when you read through this chapter 24, you will find the word served four times. You will find the word serve 12 times. We'll not take time to underline each reference, but you can look at them and underline them in your own Bible. And so 16 times the word served or serve is mentioned here in this 24th chapter of Joshua. Nowhere else in all of Joshua do we find these words mentioned as often as we find them here in Joshua's final address. So here Joshua expresses his desire, his longing that Israel would continue to serve the Lord long after he had gone from them. And I thought, what Christian parent would not wish the same for their children when they would leave this scene of time? Even as David expressed the same desire in his final words to his son Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2. There we read in the opening verses of 1 Kings chapter 2. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And so he speaks to his son. He's saying farewell to his son. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Those words are elaborated upon over in 1 Chronicles 28. You turn to 1 Chronicles 28, and we read there in verse 9. Once again, let us emphasize the fact David is saying farewell to Solomon. And this is how David wants Solomon to live after his father has gone. Verse 9, 1 Chronicles 28, And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, there it is, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Final words to his son, serve him. Serve the Lord with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. David only wanted the best for his son Solomon, just as Joshua only wanted the best for Israel. David had told Solomon that if he served the Lord and obeyed his commandments, the Lord would prosper him. That's what was on the mind of Joshua when he spoke these words. So what had Joshua to say about this important matter of service, of serving the Lord? What did he say about service that you and I may apply to our hearts and to our lives? First of all, and as we mentioned this morning, I want to consider the people, the children of Israel, and their obligation with regard to service. Before he spoke to them about their service for the Lord, Joshua delivered one final word. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, verse 2. And in that word, there was the review of all the Lord had done for the children of Israel. Once again, you can read those opening verses, from verses 3 down to the verse 14. And there you have a review of all that the Lord did for Israel. Right back to the days of Abraham. Right up until the children of Israel entered and conquered and possessed the promised land. Now in verse 14, we have the words. Notice how the verse 14 begins. Now, therefore. In other words, based upon what they had already heard, with regard to what the Lord had done for Israel, Joshua says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him. There's their obligation. Joshua was saying, you're obliged to serve the Lord in light of all that he has done for you. So here you have, first of all, the response. The response to all that the Lord had done for Israel. How could Israel avoid giving themselves to the Lord and his service? How could they possibly avoid not serving the Lord? After all that he had done for them, surely they had an obligation to serve him in sincerity and in truth. As we see, that Joshua expected such a response after being reminded of the goodness and the grace of the Lord to Israel. For as we see how Joshua begins there, as we've already pointed out, now therefore. They were surely obliged to do what they could in service for the Lord. How could they possibly refuse? And does that same obligation not present itself to us also? Does that word, therefore, not have a place in your life and in mine? For if only we took time to review all the Lord has done for us, and has granted us tokens of his mercy, his goodness, and his grace over the years. Those words, or that word therefore, would stand before us in capital letters. Now, therefore, serve the Lord, or fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Dare we review all that the Lord has done for us and then refuse to serve him? How could it be? When we consider Galatians 2, verse 20, when we consider how he loved me and gave himself for me, how can we refuse to serve him? And how have we proven the truth of the words, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews 13 and 5. And we have proven the truth of those words. And since we have found those words true, the Lord indeed, since the day he saved us, has never left us nor forsaken us, are we then not obliged to serve him? Are we not obliged to give him our time and whatever talents we have to use those talents to further his cause and to the glory of his name? He's been there for us. In times of sadness, he's been there for us. In times of sorrow, in times of suffering, in times of sickness, he's never left us. And we know that. He's been there to support us. He's been there to strengthen us. He's been there to steady us when we've been ready to fall. And even when we did fall, he was there to lift us up and set us back on our feet once again. And when we at times didn't know what way to turn. We've heard his voice say, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." He's prayed for us. When others have forgotten to pray for us, the Lord prays. In his loyalty to us, he prays for us, he provides for us, he protects us. So in light of all this, and much more, are we then not obliged to fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth? When we see all that the Lord has done for us, surely we should come to that place and say with Paul or Saul of Tarsus, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" We have an obligation to the Lord to do what we can for him and serve him. You have the response, and then you have the reverence. Notice with regard to this serving the Lord, how Joshua begins with the words, "Now therefore fear the Lord." So we are to serve the Lord and fear him. The word would refer to reverence. We're to reverence the Lord. Just as David said in Psalm 2, verse 11, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." You'd nearly think there was a contradiction there, but of course there's not. Serve the Lord with fear. That's reverence. And then David said, "And rejoice." And who would not rejoice to serve the Lord? That we have an opportunity to serve the King. Now we're to serve the Lord with fear and rejoice at serving him, but we're to do so with trembling. That is, we're to serve him with trembling, lest we fail him. We don't want to fail him. That's the standard we are to set. We want to serve the Lord. And, oh Lord, our prayer ought to be, "Lord, don't let me fail thee." In other words, if we serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing, with trembling, that simply means we want to give the Lord our best. Our best. And we can ask ourselves, am I really, truly giving the Lord my best? Is there any room for improvement in our lives? Have we given the Lord our best? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know the Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I have helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much for me? And would we not confess tonight. Yes, the Lord deserves my best. The scriptures tell us of those who feared the Lord as they served him. They did their best as they served the Lord with fear. Think of the determination of Abraham. In Genesis 22, when the Lord called upon Abraham to offer up his son, his only son, the son he had waited 25 years for. And we read in Genesis 22, in verse 11, Abraham has taken Isaac his son, he's placed him upon the altar. He's lifted up above his head the knife, and he's about to slay his son. And verse 11 says, and the angel of the Lord called on to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither thou do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. There it is. Abraham feared God. And in fearing God, Abraham wanted to do his best for the Lord. And he was prepared to do his best, even if it meant slaying his own son. And as Abraham raised the knife, the angel had to call on to Abraham twice to get his attention, because Abraham was so determined to go through with God. Because Abraham feared God. You see, when you fear God, you'll always do your best. You'll always give him your best. Always give him your best. That's what the Lord looks for. For in our service for him, the Lord looks upon us and wants to see the determination that he saw in Abraham. Abraham was determined to go through with God. He wanted to give the Lord his best. The price is high. Severe the test. For those who would enjoy God's best, surrender all, then take the road with those who will go through with God. Go through with God, thy vows to pay. Thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and give to thee God's very best. So serving the Lord with fear means that we serve him with determination. So we have seen the determination of Abraham. And then to fear the Lord in service is to serve him with dedication. For we see it in the dedication of Obadiah. You turn to 1 Kings. In 1 Kings, in chapter 18, read there about a man of God. Indeed, a man who feared the Lord. 1 Kings 18. And we read in verse 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Why doesn't the Lord have his people in the strangest places? Obadiah was the governor of Ahab's house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Feared the Lord. So what did he do as he served the Lord in fear? Well, we're told, and it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. There's the dedication of Obadiah. He served the Lord, and he served the Lord with fear. He feared God. And you see, whenever you serve the Lord with fear, whenever you fear God and rejoice with trembling, you will be dedicated to the Lord and to his service. And his fear of the Lord led Obadiah to dedicate himself to him and to the cause of Jehovah in Israel. He took those 100 prophets, hid them in a cave, and looked after them and cared for them. That's dedication. See, it is living a life that is dedicated to the Lord, serving him as Mary did. What was the Lord's word of commendation regarding Mary? She hath done what she could. Well, that's what Obadiah did. He did what he could as he served the Lord, even in the house of Ahab, that old wicked king. He still served the Lord. He served the Lord with fear and trembling. He did what he could. You can see that. He did what he could and preserved the lives of 100 prophets and fed them. I tell you, serving the Lord with fear means dedication. Serving the Lord with fear means determination. And serving the Lord with fear means devotion. Turn to 2 Kings. And there we read in the second book of Kings of a man who was completely sold out to God. You want to know what it is to be sold out to God? Well, here's an example. 2 Kings chapter 4. And there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. So her husband was a prophet. And cried unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant, there it is, did fear the Lord. He was a prophet, so he was serving the Lord. How did he serve the Lord? He feared the Lord. That's how he served him, with fear, with reverence. And the wife says, the creditors is come to take unto him my two sons to be bond men. So what do we learn from that? We learn that this dear woman's husband, who was a prophet, had served the Lord with fear and had really sold out to the Lord. He wasn't a rich man. He had given everything and all to the Lord. So much so that he became a poor man. There was nothing in the house for this woman to pay her creditors. And they were coming to take her sons away. That's how this man served the Lord. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, famous preacher, one of the most famous preachers of all time, the Prince of Preacher, preached to 5,000 in every service in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. After C.H. Spurgeon died, he left very little money behind. He gave it all to the Lord. He served the Lord with fear and trembling. He was dedicated to the Lord. He was devoted to the Lord. And that meant he completely sold himself out to the Lord. That's what it is to serve the Lord with fear and trembling. Don't want to hold anything back. Why? Because the Lord has done so much for us. We want to give him our best. We want to give him our all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. That's what that unknown prophet did. That's how he served the Lord. Served the Lord with fear. And he gave the Lord his all. We might pray with Francis Abigail. These words, take my life and let it be. Consecrate it, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless days. Take my moments and my days. Take my all. So in this service, as the children of Israel were obliged to engage themselves in, we have noted the response. Now, therefore, we've noted the reverence. Then Joshua, relating to the leaders of Israel, the Lord's word. Remember, this was the Lord's word. He relates to them the requirements. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. That's in keeping with reverence. Serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. There you have the requirements. That's what the Lord requires of us and how we are to serve him, how we are to live before him. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. To serve the Lord in sincerity would speak to us, first of all, of heart service. Heart serve. In other words, serving the Lord with all of the heart. That's what serving the Lord is all about. Let's look again at 1 Chronicles. In the words of David to his son. 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. There it is. And serve him with a perfect heart. Serve him with all of your heart. And with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understanding all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. But Solomon was called upon by his father David, serve him with a perfect heart. Complete, as the word is. Serve him with all of your heart, completely. That's what the Lord requires. For the Lord searcheth all hearts. He knows. He knows the heart. He knows if we're bluffing. He knows if we're just going through the motions. He knows if we're pretending. He searches the heart. In fact, the word sincerity that we have there, it's interesting, the word sincerity means whole or it means complete. So this means that the Lord expects his people to serve him wholeheartedly. Not to go through the motions. Not to pretend. But to serve the Lord with all sincerity of heart. Philippians 1, verse 10. That ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, until the day the Lord returns. Serve him with all of your heart. And hold nothing back. And then Paul speaks about those preachers who are not sincere, nor do they put their heart into the work that they're doing. Philippians 1, verse 16. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely. And those preachers who get their sermons from the internet, they're only bluffing. They're bluffing their way. And they go on to the internet and they'll get a sermon there and they'll get an outline and that's what they take into the pulpit. They're only bluffing. They're bluffing their people. They're not putting their work into preparation or preaching. Paul says they preach Christ but not sincerely. Remember the word sincerely means completely or wholly. Comes to serving the Lord, let us give him our best. Put the work into it. And considering all that the Savior has done for us, are we not under an obligation to serve him with sincerity of heart? Serve him completely. Again, we quote a word from Francis Havergal's hymn. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightest ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue you from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? In light of this, serving the Lord with sincerity of heart, we're reminded of Solomon's words. He received a word from his father. Now Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it. Good if it stopped there. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it. But he didn't stop there. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Do it with thy might. Give it your best. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. In other words, whenever you go into the grave, that's it. You can't contribute anything more to the work of God. We serve the Lord in sincerity. That speaks of heart service. We serve the Lord in truth. That speaks of honest service, of truth. The psalmist has declared in Psalm 51, verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And that is what the Lord requires of us, to render to him true and honest service. That's what Samuel called for when, you recall, Israel rejected Samuel as their judge, and they wanted a king like the other nations, so they got their king. The Lord gave them Saul, and when they got Saul, they didn't want Saul. They realized and recognized their mistake, and they came back to Samuel, and they said to Samuel, Samuel, pray for us. We have sinned. And Samuel then said to the elders of Israel, he said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But then he had some words of advice for them. For in 1 Samuel 12 and verse 23, he said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Listen, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. Serve, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. There it is, with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. It's the same message, you see that? Samuel delivered the same message to the elders of Israel as Joshua had delivered to the elders and the priests and the leaders of Israel in his day. Same message. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. That's surely the message we should take to our hearts tonight. Be honest in our service for the Lord. Not try and bluff anybody. But be honest. Because the Lord knows the heart. Judas was an obnoxious individual. He claimed to be a servant, disciple of the Lord. We know he was none of those things. He was bluffing the people. He was living a lie. Because when the Lord said, one of you shall betray me, Judas said, is it I? And listen, all the others said the same thing. Because none of them suspected Judas. But the Lord knew. The Lord knows the heart. So we have noted thus far the response, the reverence, the requirements, sincerity and truth. And then lastly, we have the removal. What else did Joshua say? Joshua said, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." In other words, Joshua called upon Israel to remove the idols. Now this would lead us to believe that the Israelites, some of the Israelites, had some idols amongst them. Maybe idols handed down through the generations. Because in the review, Joshua went right back to the days of Abraham. So maybe some of the Israelites had held on to some of the idols that had been handed down through the generation. Or on the other hand, perhaps they had laid hold upon some of the idols that the Canaanites had and had them in their tents. And here Joshua makes it clear that if they were to serve the Lord in fear, in sincerity, and in truth, they were to put away, that's what he says, put away the idols, put them away. You can't serve the Lord with reverence. You can't serve the Lord in sincerity. You can't serve the Lord in truth if there are idols amongst you. Lord said, put them away. The Lord had something to say about that. In Matthew, in chapter 6, and there in verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one, or else he will hold or despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and idols. You'll either love the one or despise the other. Put them away. When it comes to our service for the Lord, the dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. And serve him. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Powerful verse. Some great truths there. Some challenging words. The Lord has challenged us tonight through his word. Let's take it to our heart. And say, Lord, help me to serve thee in fear, sincerity, and in truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we bless thee for the word. Thank thee again for thy truth, the holy scriptures of truth. And O Lord God, this is a word. Thy word is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. And thy word is a light, Lord, when it comes to searching us out. And so, Lord, I pray that it will not be just hearers of the word, but doers also. O Lord, if thy word tonight has come and indeed challenged us, shown us that we have not been serving thee in fear, in sincerity and in truth. And if we have not put the idols from us, Lord, may that all change tonight. Lord, write this precious word upon our hearts. May we cherish it and refer to it and go back to it again and again, Lord, as a constant reminder to serve thee with nothing less than our all and to give thee nothing but our best. We pray in the Savior's name. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.